My name is Dan Larrison, and I'm one of the pastors here at Parkside Church. And welcome to our Career Connections Workshop. We do this because God actually cares about these things, and he wants to help, and so we want to help. And we do also have a number of people on our ministry team who actually come with a lot of experience in these things. And so actually, I think that was part of the reason we decided to put it on. It'd be one thing to think, hey, we should do a career connections, a job seekers type of workshop. That'd be really a good thing to do. But it's another thing when you realize people in your congregation have been helping people find jobs for the past, 15 years or something. You think, oh, wow, we really do have something that we can provide. So we're glad that you're here. It's really great stuff. The workshop will basically cover three things, three categories, getting ready, getting the interview, and then getting the job. And then at the end, we'll have some Q&A. So in between each of those segments, there'll be a break, the middle break being lunch. And and if you haven't filled out that white half sheet of paper on the table, go ahead and do that, because I think that'll be part of the exercise that we're going to do. I just wanted to welcome you and pray before we get started and introduce the team that's going to be presenting. But before I do that, I kind of want to set the tone and look at a passage of Scripture that will just give us a little biblical perspective. This is Ecclesiastes 2, which this whole book is about really the meaning of life. Where do you really find fulfillment in life? What's it really all about? And we read, "For all his days are full of sorrow, and his work is a vexation." This is a great verse for job seekers thing, Dan. No, it gets better. "Even in the night, his heart does not rest. This is also vanity. There is nothing better for a person than that he should eat and drink and find enjoyment in his toil. This also, I saw, is from the hand of God. For apart from him, who can eat or who can have enjoyment? For to the one who pleases him, God has given wisdom and knowledge and joy. But to the sinner, he has given the business of gathering and collecting only to give to one who pleases God. This also is a vanity and a striving after wind." And so there's three things in there that if we remember will help us in our job pursuit. And that is that work really isn't the answer. Apart from recognizing who we are in God's big scheme that God created us, work will be a vexation. If we derive our identity from our work, or if we derive our identity from the things that work provides, whether it's the material things or the position that we have, then it will more than likely be a vexation. But we can find contentment. That's the second thing. You can find contentment in your work, but only as it's in perspective with the rest of your life. Eat, you drink, you go about your life, and work is a part of it. But the real secret is that God is the one who provides work. He gives us work. He gives us the ability to enjoy it and to find contentment. And so the real encouragement from this is that God is not distant. He's not unaware of what you're going through. He's very aware, and he wants to help you. He's the one that gives us enjoyment in our work, and he wants to do that. That's something he blesses us with. So just some things to keep in mind as we talk about all these things. Let me just quickly introduce the team, and then I'll pray. I think the first presenter is Bonnie Troyer. And so she'll be talking about the first thing, the segment, getting ready. And Kim Lindsay is, I think she helped put together this. She's out of the desk. Yeah. And Ken Vaughn, he kind of gets the team going and leads the team. And then Marty Gostella. Marty Gostella, you might recognize him. He plays guitar up front sometimes. But yeah, you can ask them almost anything. They know these things really well. But it's a great presentation. I'll let them do that. And let me pray. And then after I'm done praying, I think Ken's going to come up and lead you in a little exercise. So let me pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time. Thank you that we can rest assured that you care about us having employment, that we can have a livelihood, and you say that we shouldn't worry about what we'll eat or whether we'll have clothing or shelter, that you will give us those things. Lord, help us trust you and help us, again, not find our identity in our work, but find our identity in you and the fact that you love us. You created us. We belong to you, and that you're going to care for us and help us find a job. So I pray that you'd be with all the people that are here. Be with the presenters. Speak through them and be with everyone here, that you would help them glean the things that they need to glean in order to get that job or be prepared for when they need that job. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, Ken, come on up.
Great. Thanks, Dan. So hopefully you've had a chance to meet some of the people at your table, and hopefully you filled out this little sheet, but you are going to get a chance now to do some networking, because what I want you to do is let's pass your sheet to the person to the right of you. Ed, you'll have to jump in with another group here so you can pass to the right. And I'll give you about 30 seconds to look at it, ask any questions of the person you're going to introduce. And then what I want to do is, so that we can get to know you guys and you can get to know each other, we're going to have you introduce the person who just passed the sheet to you. So I'll give you 30 seconds to look at it. And then I think we're going to start over here with Mary. And we're going to work our way across the room, okay? Good. So you see, we have a group widely diverse, right? All kinds of fields that we come from and different points in our lives. But some of us are in the process of active job search. Some of us are thinking about job search. Some of us are just interested in the topic. Like Mary is always interested in the topic. And so hopefully we all get something out of today. I encourage you to ask questions and participate as we go through the day. And I'm going to turn it over to Bonnie, and she's going to start us off. Are you using this? Are you going to use the... This is a pain.
I can do this. This is no problem. Okay. Well, good morning. Great exercise, Ken. Thank you very much. I think one of the things, if you came in here not thinking you have a big network, guess what? Look around. You now have increased your network by 20, 30 people. So take advantage of that. It's nice to learn more about what other people do and kind of look out for each other as far as what each of you are looking for. So great job. Hopefully you'll find that helpful to you. Let's see here. Okay, what I'm going to talk about is getting ready. We have the three sections: getting ready, getting the interview, and getting the job. I'll be focusing in on getting ready. A little bit of background about myself. I have almost 19 years of experience in the HR field. So I have done my share of interviewing and hiring. And hopefully my experiences and what I've learned, I can share with you that you'll be able to find helpful as you look at your job search. I am owner of an HR services provider and consulting practice, and also work for Geauga Growth Partnership as their workforce development leader. So, getting ready. I broke it up in four sections: getting focused, getting organized, getting aware, and getting started. So when you think about getting focused, a big piece of getting focused is taking a look at your current situation. Everybody has a story to tell. So you're in a transition mode. Some of you are currently working, some of you are not. But you have your story. And as you think about your story, with that story comes emotions. So whether that emotion is sadness, worry, anger, it's there. So I think it's important foundationally to recognize that part of this transition that you're going through will come some emotions. And having that awareness around that, it's a loss when you look at your job, if you are no longer in your current job. There's a loss, you know, whether it be a loss in income, a loss in, you know, if you look at your work, you spend more time, at least awake time, with the people you work with than your own family members at times. So that's also a loss. So, you know, go ahead. I think you can grieve your loss. I think you can try to understand your circumstances. That's important. So when you're looking at why you are here today, you know, take that honest look as far as, okay, how did I get here and why am I here? And it may not be a situation that you think is fair, is right. You know, a business has moved to different locations and you may not have wanted to move to that location or, you know, circumstances that you don't have control over. So, you know, I think understanding that circumstances and maintaining perspective around it, I think is important to spend a little bit of time there. But what I want to do is when you spend that time there, think through when you're understanding your circumstances, you're grieving your loss, the goal is to move forward, not to look back. Learn from your experiences, but take those experiences and help it drive you forward, not looking backward. That's key. Because you can't change what happened in the past, but you can change and influence what's going to happen in your future. So if I can encourage you that's foundational in your job search. Because what your emotions are and what you're feeling will be reflected as you interview and as you network and as you job search. So put the past behind you. Learn from it. Be positive. So foundationally, I think that's important. The other thing before I go on, I love interaction. So if you have any questions or want me to go a little more in depth to what I'm saying, don't hesitate. Another aspect of getting ready is just recognizing that things are changing a little bit as far as the world of employment. I call it more of job experiences are what people are looking for and companies are looking for. So the days of coming out of high school or coming out of college, finding that job with that company and then retiring from that company are not very common anymore. It's rare now. So I think recognize that there are people tend to have different jobs with different companies throughout their career. So that's just part of the reality. And a lot of employees and employers, they'll take a look at what I gain from each job. So as an employee, they'll look at the experiences that they get from their job, not necessarily, I just have a job, this is what I'm going to make, and then I'm going to retire. I can give you an example. I worked for SwageLock for quite a few years, and what we've noticed is even our machine operators, they don't want to have the same experience throughout their entire career. They will take a look at, okay, I operate a CNC machine, now I'd like to do a multi-spindle machine. Or they're in customer service, I've serviced this industry, I'd like to service another industry. And they go by experiences. So I think that's nice to keep in mind, too, as you're looking at how the world of employment is changing. Focus on the future. You know, you're going through a transition right now. You now have time and a little bit of permission to dream a little bit. So think about the jobs that are out there that you might have interest in. And this is an opportunity to take a look at a potential career change as well. So don't forget that. Big piece of this whole process is that your job now it's a full-time job, searching for a job. And then you'll be able to get to work once you realize that. Yeah. Sure. Right. Absolutely. Yeah. Right. Well, I think there are, and Kim Lindsay, one of our next speakers, will talk a little more about in depth as far as the job, getting the job search, and different ways and different methods that you can use and channels that you can use that may be some helpful, somewhat helpful. I think what you're going to have to do is how effective. Think about effectiveness and networking, and because you want to do well in your current job as well, so you have that commitment. And that's the best way to find that next job or that next role, whether it's in that same company or outside of the company, is to do well in your current job. So that is that balance, and it's not easy. Hopefully some of these tips that we'll have throughout the day will help you in trying to be a little more targeted in your job search. And And we do have just a shameless plug for our follow-up sessions that goes into a little more depth around these topics that we have. It's tough to go into too much depth in this period of time. So this is meant to be really more that overview, and I would encourage you to take advantage of the follow-up sessions that we have, and they're in your worksheet as well, the topics as well as the times. One note, the room number, it says 202. It's actually 228. So mark that. But, Greg, that's an excellent point, because it is tough trying to balance that, and you really do want to do well in your current job. So hopefully these follow-up sessions and today can help you with that. Another foundational thing is don't let the stress get to you. I know that's easier said than done. You know, if you're not currently employed and you're trying to pay the bills and there's a lot of uncertainty around it, I would encourage you to exercise. Get moving. Get outside. You know, whether it is walking, hiking, whatever it is, find what your niche is and just get moving, and that'll help kind of put things in perspective. I know it clears my mind when I'm exercising. I think somebody had mentioned that's how, you know, how they manage things. Not a bad thing. Plan some relaxation. So, you know, the type A's, sometimes, you know, they take it literally full-time job 24/7. Sometimes you have to take a step back and relax a little bit as well. Develop a support network. Share with your family, with your friends, what you're doing, what your goals are, because then as things come up, it's nice to bounce things off of a trusted resource. And it also helps with your networking, because sometimes, as Kim will explain a little more, your network, it's amazing how many different connections that they have if they just have an awareness. And it makes you feel better if you're able to share with others. And prayer. I think going back to, you know, what Dan had mentioned before, you know, being grounded and recognizing that God is sovereign and God does care. And he does have it where to ask him. You know, so, yes, he knows. But I think, you know, praying and asking him for help and guidance and wisdom is also critical. Okay, next, get organized. Take some time in your house. You know, we talked a little bit about this is a job. Your job's, you know, searching for your job is an actual job. So think of it like that and get organized like it you would at work. So find some space in your house, quiet space, organized space. Make sure you have your computer set up, internet access, email accounts, the phone, the answering machine, so if somebody is trying to call you for an interview, they can get a hold of you, and there is a nice voicemail. Just a note about the voicemail, make sure that it sounds professional. Think of yourself, you know, somebody calling, you're calling somebody to interview, and think about if you're playing music, if you're playing what your message is. It makes a difference, because that's the kind of person that they're going to want working in their business. So anything that you do, whether it's your email account, even how you name your email, that's important. a record-keeping system, however you do it, whether it's paper, whether it's iPhone, make sure you have a good record-keeping system. So again, if you're scheduled to be somewhere at 10 a.m. for an interview, you're gonna be there and you're not going to be surprised and miss something. So make sure you have good record-keeping system. Contacts. So if you introduced a neighbor or you heard somebody here that may have some connections, how are you going to remember who they are and how to contact them? Make sure that you write those things down. Some people have these great memories. I don't. So you think you're going to remember it, but you may not. So make sure you do write it down. And I talked a little about earlier as far as family awareness and support. That's important. So professional business attire. My topic is just getting ready. Why am I talking about that now? A big piece of this is dressing for success and networking. And Kim and Marty, they're going to talk a little more about how you do some of those things. But think through, even when you go to a grocery store, when you go to your child's baseball game or basketball game, you certainly don't have to dress like you're dressing for an interview. However, people that you meet there are potential employers or ways to connect you to employers. So how you dress, how you appear, right or wrong, fair or unfair, gives people an impression of you. So, you know, in my field, a lot of clients will have openings. And so I'm out constantly kind of like thinking about things no matter where I am. But, you know, if somebody would come to me with, oh, I would like a customer service job, and they're a mess. And not just, you know, a little mess. You know, there's tears in their shirts, there's stains, those types of things. I couldn't, in good conscience, present them to an employer. I would be a little hesitant. So just keep in mind, again, you're not dressing for an interview all the time when you go to the grocery store or when you go to your kid's game, but just make sure it is a reflection of you, and you are going to meet people that could potentially help you. So that's why we have this in this section, even though it's more just getting prepared. Always dress a little above what you're looking to do when you are meeting with a potential employer. That's important. The other thing as far as getting ready, organize your finances. That's a big worry and a big concern when you're going through a transition. Whether you like her or love her, I do love Susie Orman's one statement that she does. She says, stand in the truth. And with finances, I'm a big believer in that. So don't wait until you're forced to do something or forced to take action. When you're going through a transition, take a look at your finances. Take a look at your budget. Take a look at your expenses and how you can reduce your expenses. Know your options regarding unemployment, health insurance, retirement plans. If you're transitioning from, you know, one job to another, or you lost your job with a company, the choices that you make can make a difference in your finances. So talk to that HR person at your former employer's office, because you'll have some options and potential choices. I'm not an expert, so I can't give you advice on that, other than my advice would be to contact somebody who knows the best way for you and your personal situation. So be aware of that. Job searches, the expenses can be deductible, so keep track of them. Some resources for your job search that you can start gathering and thinking about include internet resources. Now, there is just so much on the internet. Kim is going to talk a little more specifically on some of your resources that you have, and she's going to actually give you some examples, which is nice. So this is kind of another reason to make sure that your computer is set up, your internet connections are set up, and that you have access to the resources available to you, most of which are free. Networking groups. So if you are an engineer or you are a marketing person, there may be some societies and some opportunities for networking groups. There may be groups like this. This is a networking group in regards to people in similar situations that you can network with. Now, I'm not as familiar with the Maple Heights branch of the library. Ken, I know you had mentioned that at one of our other sessions. Do you still recommend that that library?
The second floor of that branch, they have a whole career thing that they do counseling. And they do
okay. Great. So that's good to know. And then you have your County Employment Services Center may also have some resources as well that you could take advantage of. Another reminder, no need to go through the process alone. There are people, there are resources out there that are more than willing to help you. Find encouragers. So those people that will encourage you versus you know, going and validating maybe the emotions that you have or the fears that you have, be careful with that. Find people that will encourage in a positive way. And find accountability partners. When you set some goals as far as I'm going to get my resume completed, I'm going to prepare for this and do research companies, let other people know and help hold you accountable, because sometimes it is tough to get motivated because you're overwhelmed with a situation and you don't know where to start. So getting aware, increasing your awareness. A lot of that goes to more self-awareness. So, again, you're in transition mode. Now is a great time to take that step back and look at your talents and your interests. I always tell people to go and look at what motivates them, what energizes them. So if you look through your experiences that you've had, whether in your career or outside of your career, maybe volunteering somewhere, what energize you about that job, about that project. Go into a little more depth there and help yourself uncover a little more about yourself. So define your list your work experience as your education. That's always nice to know what your can help you with your strengths and where your interests lie as well. Define your strengths and your weaknesses. What are you good at? What are you not so good at yet? You either want to become good at, or it's just not something that I feel comfortable doing. List them out. Understand those interests. Examine yourself. Again, this is just a great time to take that step back. Think about what you really want to do, where your interests are, where your strengths are. Take advantage of that time. If you're not sure where your strengths are, and I get that a lot, ask someone else. If you have a former employer that you have a good relationship with, ask them. If you have a sister, a brother, or a family member, or a great friend, ask them. You know, what do you appreciate about me, and what do I do? What do I do well, and what do I not so well at? They'll be honest with you. Going back again to, this is a great opportunity. Are you in the right career? If you say yes, why? Why is it right for you? What are those things that make it the right career for you? Career interest surveys do help you know your product. And what is your product? Yes, yourself. And that's I think that's the first session, the follow-up session that we have, where you can actually take a career interest survey that will help you out. I believe that's next Tuesday. Excellent. Okay. Which one did you take?
What interest are you have? What are your strengths and weaknesses?
Okay. Did you find it helpful?
I did, but it was pretty much still looking for myself.
Well, sometimes it's validation. That's good. That's good to know. Thank you. One book that has been helpful, I know Ken had mentioned it last time, was Discovering Your Natural Talents by John Bradley and Jay Carty. There's a lot of books out there, a lot of resources out there that you can use. And a lot of them, what I've noticed is you kind of glean different things from each thing that you read. It's more.
And that particular one is a godly perspective on God.
Excellent.
past, mm-hmm. do a bunch of experiences, and then try to draw some conclusions through the process.
Oh, excellent.
How God's gifted you to do certain things.
Oh, great. Thank you. Setting realistic career goals. Thinking about what's your immediate goal. 3 to 5 years. 5 to 10 years. One nice exercise is doing in the reverse order of that. So if you think about where you really want to be, so what? Then you can take a step back and look at, so what do I do immediately? What do I do in 3 to 5, 10 that'll help me get there? Because there's really none of us that can get where we want to be in 5 to 10 years now. It's going to take 5 to 10 years. So think through that first and then take a look at what your immediate goals are and what your interim goals and plans are and make sure that it aligns with where you want to be long term. Right. Yeah. Well, yeah, I think somewhat it depends somewhat on the career that you're choosing. And it does, I think there's an element of, yes, you can, companies will say, yes, I can get somebody that is right out of college and I can train them the way that I want them to be. But there are some really good, sound judgment and reasonings behind hiring somebody that is seasoned. So it does depend on the situation that a company might be going through as far as what mix that they want. Age may not have a lot to do with it, maybe more of experience. And so they'll need, one or two people that is more seasoned and experienced and they want to bring in kind of having that flow. Marty, I don't know if you have any thoughts around that topic.
Emphasize years and emphasize experience and the resume, pointing out career builder, monster, all those things, efficient. There's times I've gone that my experience is there, but it shows longevity and getting hit at all. So that's.
Well, you may want to. Mm-hmm. And you may want to think about how you're marketing yourself and what channels you're using. So Monster may not be the best route. So, and that's absolutely something that we'll talk a little more about today as well as in some of our follow-up sessions. Absolutely. But attitude, thank you, Marty. That is definitely a big piece of it. So getting started. This is where we're just beginning stages of talking about your marketing plan. So again, what's your product? What are you marketing? Yes, yourself. Who are your customers? Yes. So think through, it like that. So you are, put yourself in the customer's situation, the employer's situation. Would you, as a employer, want to hire you? So that's and what your how you sell yourself, how you present yourself will be the determining factor. So these are a lot of things that I'm going to talk about will be and could be pieces and parts of your resume. But regardless of whether you want to do an objective, a summary, a positioning statement, I think it's advantageous and important for you to go through that exercise of all of them, because it gives you a little better feel for what you're comfortable with. So a professional objective states the role or responsibility that you're seeking. So are you seeking a customer service rep position? Are you seeking an HR generalist or manager type position? State that. You know, the function or work that you'll be performing, is it administrative? Is it within, if you're an engineer, is it within quality assurance? That's what you'll be stating. We'll give you some examples a little later. That's the ultimate direction that's desired for your career. So that's basically what you're stating. Your career summary is more descriptive. So it IDs and identifies some of your key strengths and competencies. So if you have excellent communication skills, you may put that in your career summary. And it's explaining if you have what industry. So if you are, an example, quality assurance engineer in the manufacturing industry with certain certifications, you could put that in your career summary. And we'll have some exercises if you go to the follow-up session, and we'll show some examples today. And then there's a positioning statement, which is similar to the career summary. It, in a lot of ways, I describe it as your 30-second elevator speech. So if you have that opportunity to describe what you do, what your strengths are, where your competencies are, you're positioning yourself for your objective for getting that job. Your competencies, list them out. What are your strengths? What are your attributes? So are you a great communicator? List that. Do you manage conflict well? List that. There's a list that you can get, even pull from, that we can provide you. But think through your jobs. When did you get compliments, and what did you get compliments on? Those are your strengths. Your target market. List your target market. So the geographic area. Where are you willing, and what are you willing to do as far as your geographic area? Do you want to stay in this area, this county, outside of Ohio? Are you willing to relocate? Think through that. What industry? Is it manufacturing, retail? What are you open to? List those. The types of companies or the organizations that you want to work for. Is it nonprofit? Is it, for-profit companies? What about size? Some people are very comfortable in a mom-and-pop shop type environment. Others like the big G-type companies, and they feel more comfortable in that, or sometimes that mid-size. So think through that as well. And then the culture. The culture is really important, because you'll flourish in the culture that matches what you're comfortable with, and that's typically what energizes you. So if it's a fast-paced type culture, or it is family-based culture, you'll sense that. Do a little bit of research with that, and especially when you interview, you'll be able to find that. Well, I do think that networking is important, because that is a nice way to get a feel for the culture. Now, always recognize that it's their perspective as they describe that culture. So the more data points that you can get, the better. Because if somebody left and it didn't go well, how they describe that culture may be completely different than someone else who may be currently working there and very happy about working in that culture. And I think it's a great interview question. They always ask for, do you have any questions for us? describing that culture, or, you know, give me an example of why you like this culture. You can even ask back. And Marty, I know, will do some mock interviews at some of the follow-up sessions. He'll talk a little more in detail in his session. But, you know, I think finding out what that culture is. The issue is both sides. Sometimes you just have an hour or two that you're spending trying to figure out, is this the right company for me? They're trying to figure out, is this the right person for my company? You're also trying to figure out, is this the right company for me? So good questions are important. Yes, Gary. That's a big piece of what Marty covers. Marty, do you want to chime in?
Yeah, without investing too much time right now, you'd obviously have been very careful. But you're going to emphasize the reasons you're there, and then ultimately focus on the negative, and then you're going to the positive state. We're going to cover that. That's considered one of the hardest negative questions to respond if you, in fact, have a negative issue like experience in the job. But it's right up there next to you. Why did they let you go, or what's your biggest weakness, or, you know.
Yeah.
So we'll cover that.
Okay. Thanks. Yeah. And I think a big takeaway here, too, is it's typically not what you've gone through and what experiences that you've had. It's how you've responded to those experiences. I think we've all been in situations where we either have it's not in our control, or maybe we made a mistake. So it's everybody can relate to that. It's how you responded to those types of situations in your life and in your work life, that and how you then explain and articulate it. And Marty gives some great advice and techniques to use to help you go through that. Well, I think good for you as far as that flexibility and being able to appreciate. I think that's what you talk to as far as what you appreciate about the larger companies, and you could target to who you're interviewing to. I think that'll help. But I think, again, it goes back to attitude and the positiveness of it. I see it more as a positive that you're able to work in the different environments. And even larger companies have smaller type environments that they'll put people in. So whether it may be an acquisition, or they have how they structure their divisions, their clients, absolutely. So that's a positive as far as, you know, being able to work in the different environments, as well as being able to appreciate what each environment and size will give you. So I think that could go as a positive. You don't have to completely eliminate. I think it's just how you'd speak to it. That would be my advice. Mm-hmm. So list out. So once you do that and you know these are the areas, the industries that you're interested in, find what are the specific companies that align with what you are trying to do. So those will be your target companies.
We'll cover that in the next session.
Mm-hmm. So marketing plan, your channels. We're going to cover that in the next section as well. Kim will go into a little more detail. She'll talk a little bit of how you contact these target companies, how much time and effort that you apply to the various channels. Greg, it goes back to a little bit what you were talking about. You have limited time because you have a full-time job. You need to do well in that job, but you also want to be in that job search mode. So how do you be much more effective? How do you be more targeted in your search and what channels that you use? Kim will talk a little more about that. Mm-hmm. And here are some of the channels that are listed. However, Kim is going to go into more detail, so I'm not going to go into a lot of detail here, but you can see that there are a lot of channels that you can use. And there are some, you know, there's always something new out there. And a lot of it depends on who your target market is, and you'll still get companies that have paper applications and paper everything. It's amazing. You think that that can't be possible, but there are. Okay, your AAA resume. Big piece of it, resumes, when you're talking about what you put on there, think the AAA, think actions, achievements, accomplishments versus just statements. So basically it's describing the benefits of you, what you're selling. So an example here, we have a salesman for 3-state territory. That's the first bullet on his resume. What do you think of that? It's a salesman, 3 states. There you go. What did he do? So let's give it a better try. So now he's responsible for sales in a 3-state territory. Better? Yeah, what does it really tell you? Actions, achievements. Yeah. Grew sales by 17% in a 3-state territory. It's not bad. Getting there. What do you think? Would you hire him? So send him back to the drawing board and then came up with increased sales by 17% in highly competitive and historically underperforming 3-state territory. Because the previous one, let's say 17%, everybody else got 40%. So he could be underperforming versus, you know, working again in a highly competitive and historically underperforming 3-state territory. So I think he could do even better. So increased sales by 17%, not only in a highly competitive and historically underperforming 3-state territory, he did it. How did he do it? By demonstrating a value, a premium product, and winning 32 new customers. It's a little more depth there. So you can see, you know, by his actions what he achieved and what he accomplished. That's the key. So when you look at the things in your previous job that you've done, anytime you can explain the specific actions, what did you achieve, what did you accomplish, the better. And that's also going to help you in the interviewing process because that's how you want to present yourself. And you're more likely to get hired and get that second interview if they feel that you can do something for them that's similar and that they can transfer to the job that they have opened. Mm-hmm. You have to be careful with that. And even like this statement, you know, you may want to do in, you know, more than one bullet. We'll have to, you know, you take a look at that piece of it because going back to how busy a hiring manager can be and they have a limited time, they don't want to work to find out what you've accomplished, what you've achieved, and what you can do for them. You want to make it easier for them. And it goes back to just having that nice initial statement as well up front that summarizes everything, like boom, boom, boom. Okay, got it. I'm interested. I'm going to go beyond that statement. And then I'm going to go into some of the bullets. I think that's key. think through their eyes, they may get 100 plus, you know, depending on a very popular job. And it doesn't take long before you get high volume of resumes if, you know, if it's a popular job and a good company. So they may shut it down, too, before it gets to a certain point. Yeah. Right. I think you're good point. You do have to be careful, and you don't want to tell your entire story and write your autobiography. This is bullets. These are how especially tied to the job that they have open, and again, what can you do for them? How can they transferable what you've done to them for your previous jobs to this potential job? The types of resumes. This is probably the most popular. It's that reverse chronological resume where you have your contact information up front, you have your career objective or qualification summary underneath it, and then you list your professional experience in reverse chronological order. So you have your title, your dates employed, the employer name, location description, one sentence of responsibility, not, huge story, but something that's measurable, again, going back to achievements and actions. And then you have three to five more achievements and accomplishments. There's always, this is more of that standard piece of it. If there are exceptions, you can always talk through some of those, but that's pretty standard. And then you have your education, your training, and your certifications. Well, I think you don't want to come across as not being completely transparent about things. That's a big, big deal. That even if there might be some logic or reasoning behind it, like if you even put that you're currently employed and you're not, that goes back to, integrity. You may want to, you can always, in a cover letter, explain some things too. And what you're trying to do, again, is getting into the door as far as an interview and then being able to articulate reasonings why and having that positive spin on it. Here's an example. It might be difficult to read, but it is an example of a resume, how it's laid out. So you have the contact information up front. And then you have the profile, basically that 30-second type elevator speech, and then you have the work history. I've seen it different ways. I had a lot of resumes come in where it does go back to a certain point, and then it has some brief explanation or from certain this year to that year. I'm not one to go back to, the Burger King one I had in high school. I don't know what, Ken or Marty's thoughts are on this, but you can always, is it relevant that you worked at, in high school, you worked at Burger King? So mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, we can take a look at those as well, and I would encourage for those of you who go to those sessions, bring in your resume. Another way of creating your resume is a functional resume, where that has your contact information up front. You have your career objective, qualification summary, and then you're listing more, it's more competency-based. So if there's a specific competency that you're really strong in and that you've used across different jobs, you could have that as a header and then list those bullets underneath those. And then underneath that, you're going to have a shorter list of the positions, employers, or dates without all those bullets. The bullets are going to be underneath those headers. And then you have the education, training, and certifications. Example of that. Yes. Yes. And anybody can chime in. I like a little bit of a personality as far as, especially if they volunteered for different events. I like it if it's related to the actual job. So if you've been in a leadership position, even in coaching a team where you really had to use your organizational skills, you had to learn learn leadership type skills, those types of things that can be related. I don't think you need to put if your hobby is crocheting, unless you're going for a job that might be related. I don't think you need to put, you know, hobbies that, you know, even fishing or things like that. I mean, I don't know, there's different schools of thought around that, but I think you want to make it related to how it's going to help me be successful in this job. So if you go any of the extracurricular type things, make it related.
What I meant a little more was putting in something that's a little bit lighter, like making a small joke that fits in, but may not be appropriate.
I can tell you from my experience, I would avoid that, you know, unless it is somewhat relevant to the job. You know, if there's a job that you need to interact with people, and that would be a stretch. I'm trying to even find of a job that I would be comfortable in saying for you to do that. You know, because then it's like, oh, is he going to take this job seriously? You know, that's what I would again think through the eyes of the employer and the hiring person, because they want to hire the right person, and hiring the wrong person is a lot of work.
Well, that's the thing, is trying to outguess them. I mean, you know, do they want a machine or do they want a human being? Is what I'm thinking.
Yeah. I would go the safer route.
I work at bullet points. Yeah. You know, I work with as a, you know, a human being, and we, yeah, there are times for a little bit of, you know, lighter and so on, but, you know, but they'll see that you're serious too. But
right. And your personality would be somewhat reflected in the interviewing process as well, but I would also be cautious. Well, so take a look at your resume and see what might be preventing. And you know, again, the hiring managers are so busy, and to look through those, and if there's any question, anything waffling back and forth, they're just going to move on to the next. Did you have a question?
Thank you.
And I think you know, get recognize your audience and who are the decision makers. And sometimes early on might not be the best time to show that side. And the tough piece of it is I get asked a lot, so should my resume be this or that? Should I do this or that? Everybody, hiring managers are different. There is what may fly with one isn't going to work well with another. So that's why in order to get your foot in the door, sometimes being a little more standard will be will help you a little more. You know, taking those risks might not be the best time to take those risks initially, but it is tough. I mean, as an advice giver, people ask me advice. You know, what I look at resumes and what I may choose may be different than Marty, who is also has looked through, I'm sure, hundreds of resumes, may look at differently. But guess what? I'm the decision maker for my area. Marty's a decision maker for his area. So you have that piece of it, and we're all humans.
Mm-hmm. But on occasion that I've found some interesting opportunities that I've tried before, I've been surprised to find out that they are probably a little bit more dynamic in that respect. And so instead of looking for you to provide the old fashioned formal cover with a letter, mm-hmm. they're asking you to provide a poem. Or I had one whereby instead of providing a cover letter, they asked you to provide like an interesting anecdote.
Yeah.
So I mean that will give you a little
And there's some yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And there's some creative organizations out there, and they have some creative interviewing processes.
I've heard that a lot of companies use computers to scan the resume.
Yeah.
So you have to tailor your resume and make sure that it has specific words that are listed for the job to match it, so it doesn't, because otherwise it'll just.
Yeah. Some of the larger companies do have the software programs to do that. And yes, and they'll do what they're trying to do is have these minimum qualifications and minimum things. And so they'll do the searches for that. And it helps them when they get those 100 resumes to narrow it down to a reasonable amount. So, you know, when you take a look at the job opening, read it, because most of what they're focusing on, if they're talking about these key or core competencies required for the job, it's nice to have that reflected in your resume. Because that'll help with that piece of it. It'll also help with even if they don't have that software program, that's what they're looking for. Again, the easiest way, they want to find the best candidate in the shortest period of time with as least amount of work on their part. Yeah, so that's a good. And it's a good thing. You know, I don't know how many companies have that, you know, but they do. It is out there, especially the larger companies. Okay, we talked through that. An example of the functional resume is here where it talks about it's a marketing executive, and so she just lists her business skills, has a header for each one, so marketing, market planning, project planning, and then bullets there. And then the professional experience is below, and then you have the work experience underneath that.
I might say functionals usually are used when you're changing direction or you have a big gap that you're doing. Mm. For example, a homemaker raising kids and now go back in the workforce. Well, when you're going to put the last 10 years of experience,
So letters. There's a lot of letters out there, and like resumes. Yes. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And I do like when somebody will list their employer and just a one-liner about that employer. You know, how big the employer is, what industry they're in. It's helpful because it also helps with transferring what they do to what your opening is. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do not have a lot of experience or exposure to that, but we can certainly do some research on that, or maybe we can find somebody that can help what the norm is. Are you in that field?
Yes.
Yeah. Letters, you're going to get differences of opinion as well. But cover letters are meant to be short and sweet. They're meant to basically summarize versus explain in detail. And again, going back to there's just a period of time, there's time constraints with a hiring manager and the HR department as far as what they can read. So just make sure to keep it short and sweet. There's some great examples out there of good and bad if you go to the right sites, and I think we'll talk a little more about those. And, you know, I think everything electronic now, there's a little difference too as far as even being able to submit one. So some companies will just have you apply online, upload a resume. They don't really look at cover letters. Others, it's very important. That's a tough, you know, and I would love to be able to tell you this is what you always do. But try again to research your company, know your companies, find out if you can beforehand. But I can tell you that the company that I work for, it was rare that we read or even required a cover letter at all. But there are other companies who really do. And it's a great way, especially if there's something that you want to explain a little bit, it's a great way to do that. There are some marketing letters that have been used in place of resumes. I'm not as familiar with this. Ken or Marty, if you want to weigh in on this, if you've had some experience with this, I have not done this or actually reviewed these types of letters.
Well, this is basically doing rather than a resume, doing a brochure, what I would call it. Here's who I am, and here's why I'd like to talk to you. It's really an introduction of your product to a potential client.
It looks like a letter.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Another option.
Marketing letters will help if you're trying to open the door to a new opportunity as well. You know, something you haven't really done.
No, we'll wait. I'll distract.
Sort of like an endorsement. Almost like a list, kind of set up a brochure. It is targeted, however, and that's an important point to emphasize. You target a marketing letter for a specific organization by having done some research in that organization before you draft the letter. So your first introductory paragraph relates to information you saw in some research, so you can
Thank you. My advice would be if you can avoid that as far as with putting negotiable or, you know, to not put an actual number on there. I don't know if you have, yeah. And you may not have, depending on how they set up, you could put, I don't know if you can even put anything in there as far as like current rate, but if you can avoid it, I would avoid it. You know, that's not the time to, in my opinion, to talk through salary. Yeah. Are they forcing you to? Can you leave it blank or can you leave it, you know, negotiable or? Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's tough because, you know, sometimes you don't know because you don't know enough about the job and the scope of the job to even determine, to gauge what you should put down there. But if you can avoid it, I would say avoid it. If you really have to, do as much research as you can. I don't. Okay, now for a little bit of fun. These are actually from real resumes and cover letters. Would you hire these people? You think about spelling, grammar. Yeah. Yeah, received a plaque for Salesperson of the Year. You know, and here's a little bit, you know, have an excellent track record, although I'm not a horse. You know, that may be funny, but, you know, you just may not pass. Yeah. I'm loyal to my employer at all costs. Please feel free to respond to my resume on my office voicemail. Really loyal. Another page. My personal interests, donating blood, 14 gallons so far. You know, maybe if you're applying to the Red Cross, I'm not sure. But again, make it relevant to and relatable to the actual position. Yeah, and spell check. And be careful with spell check because sometimes it can turn a word because I don't think ruining is misspelled. It should be running, and they didn't pick that up. And if you're going, if you have really great resumes, everybody's qualified, and you just need a way to weed through the resumes and only pick the top three, even though the ruining versus running, you know, you may have lost it there. Yeah. I'm all for transparency. You know, whether or not, did she already get a call for an interview potentially? Especially if it's something that they're going to see anyway or notice, you know, because maybe the dates are off. Go ahead and you know, plead for forgiveness and have a nice little letter and just saying, hey, apologize, we sent the wrong one.
I would also, in the file name, put a lot underlined.
Oh, good point. And not pass around that old one.
Yeah.
Great point. Great point. So, yeah, you know, 8:45 a.m. every morning, couldn't work under those conditions. And the positive, I've never quit a job. So, resilience there. So, definitely think through. I think a lot of these are, you know, no-brainers, but you never know. So, it's always good to have a little bit of a laugh, too. Your internet identity. Companies are definitely using the internet to screen, some more than others. Some will avoid it because they don't want to uncover potentially discriminatory practices or uncover things that they don't want to know. But there are a lot of companies who will still go Facebook, LinkedIn is pretty professional, so it's not as much a risk for some companies as Facebook and other social medias, but they will definitely use it. So Google yourself, know what's out there, and just be aware that Facebook social media is accessible, and a lot of companies will use that. So that picture, you know, of your college ex-base might not be a good thing to. No, absolutely not. And from my perspective, I don't even recommend employers Google Facebook. I just think you can get into more trouble just because, you know, do you really need to know that this person has this religion or that, you know, I think it can get you in more trouble than not. But a lot of companies do. So, you know, just recognize that they do that. How your privacy settings, you know, and sometimes people, their privacy settings really aren't very private. And you can Google a name. You can Google on Facebook that name, and it'll come up with information and with their profile. So that was getting ready. More of that foundational stuff before you even start the search. Any questions? Excellent. Thank you for your participation. I love questions, and I'm sure Kim will as well. So, and we'll be around after as well. So I will turn it over to Kim.
Okay.